East is East and West is West, except in Major League Soccer, where the Eastern Conference Championship game will pit the Colorado Rapids against the San Jose Earthquakes, the team that eliminated the New York Red Bulls and headliner Thierry Henry from the postseason last Thursday night. The game to determine whether the Rapids or the Earthquakes will play for the MLS Cup next Sunday will occur tonight in Colorado. Of David Beckham's role in leading the LA Galaxy to the Western Conference Championship game, his coach Bruce Arena said Beckham's set pieces were terrific. So maybe Mr. Beckham is worth all those millions after all. The Galaxy must beat FC Dallas to advance to the MLS Cup. Those two teams will meet tomorrow night in Los Angeles. Of the game most of the rest of the world calls football, John Doyle has said, "I don't believe in God, but I do believe in the soul of soccer." John Doyle is the author of The World is a Ball, subtitled The Joy, Madness, and Meaning of Soccer. He arrived at that conclusion about the game's soul after almost a decade of traveling the world to witness some of the game's most significant competitions, 3 World Cups and 3 European Championships between 2002 and 2010. John Doyle joins me now from the CBC in Toronto. Welcome to Only a Game.
Hi there, Bill. Nice to be here.
The World Cup is soccer's most grand showcase, and at the 2006 World Cup in Germany, you write that you felt you were, I'm quoting now, part of a vast, living, and endlessly moving phenomenon. Of course, you acknowledge that you were jet-lagged and exhausted, so was this living, moving phenomenon a hallucination, or was there something more to it than that?
No, Bill, I don't think it's a hallucination. There are few more spectacular experiences, I think, than actually being in the host country of a World Cup while the tournament is unfolding, because there is the vast number of fans from the various countries appearing at the World Cup who go to the host country, and then they float from city to city, often, as in the case of Germany, and floating in a sort of sea of beer. But they're enjoying themselves. They're supporting their country, but also acknowledging that everybody else is there to appreciate and support soccer played at its highest level. There is an amazing sense of brotherhood, and it is the world's best party.
There's an old rule regarding sports writers that goes, no cheering in the press box. And that rule really doesn't seem to apply at major soccer tournaments. Which country's writers seem to you the most unapologetic fans?
The Brazilians. I have never seen a press corps like the Brazilian press corps that follows the team at the World Cup. If you go into the press area at a stadium where Brazil is playing, many of the reporters from print, from television and radio are wearing Brazil shirts. They stand up and cheer, not just when there's a goal, but when there's a lovely move by the Brazilian players. The dynamic in part, I think, is generated by the feeling in the country that everyone is part of the team. And that, I think, explains why some of the press corps will lose any sense of objectivity in those situations.
Spain beat Holland in the 2010 World Cup final, and you seem to feel that was not only very good for Spain, but very good for soccer as well. How so?
The triumph of Spain in the final game was really the triumph of grace and beauty over violence and coercion. I mean, the Spanish style of endless passing, that tic-tac-toe game, it's a very elegant kind of self-restraint. Holland really had no tactic that could respond to that style, so they simply opted for coercion, for violence, for toughness, and it didn't work. It was, I think, hugely symbolic for the idea of soccer as the beautiful game that Spain won in the end by sticking with that combination of self-restraint and elegance.
I'd like you to read from your description of a World Cup qualifier between Holland and Ireland in 2002, a game that you didn't even attend. It's the second paragraph on page 38.
Okay. The game that mattered was the second game against Holland, played in Dublin. I watched it in a crowded bar in the Toronto suburbs. Roy Keane was everywhere in the game, launching sliding tackles against the fleet-footed Dutch forwards, controlling the pace and owning the space around him. A win would almost guarantee Ireland's qualification for this World Cup. Ireland won 1-0, playing with a tenacity and confidence that was unnerving to watch at a distance. When the game ended, we all looked at each other in that crowded Irish bar and beamed. Two elderly men stood up, embraced, and wept. The team had again fulfilled the needs of the country and its vast diaspora.
Did you feel any hesitation at attributing to a soccer game the potential to fulfill the needs of a country?
No, I felt no hesitation at all, actually, Bill. I think one of the things going on in my book is the importance of the national team for your home country if you're an immigrant. If you're from a small country somewhere, you've moved to another country like the U.S. or to Canada, how much it can mean to follow the trials and tribulations of your home country's team as it tries to make it to the World Cup or another big championship and then be at the World Cup. And that emotional connection that exists between the immigrant, the home country, through the team, and how the team can, in fact, define the country, not just for the country itself, but for that vast diaspora around the world.
John, The World is a Ball is filled with ambitious conclusions regarding soccer. Some of them are yours, and some of them you cull from other writers and poets and philosophers. But at the end of the book, you seem to me determined to boil it all down to a single sentence. You write, "The game brings joy and kills it." Does that seem to you somehow truer of soccer than any other game?
I think it is, Bill, yes. It's a game that can bring extraordinary joy. There are a few things more pleasurable than being in a large soccer stadium that is filled with 60, 70, 80, 85,000 people experiencing a game. And at the same time, because the game is not perfect and because mistakes are made often by a referee or a linesman, then it can bring heartbreak. It's about society, not just about individuals who are united in the joy and the pleasure of seeing their team at a World Cup or in another large tournament, and then realize that this party isn't going to last forever. It could go badly.
John Doyle is the author of The World is a Ball, subtitled The Joy, Madness, and Meaning of Soccer, published by Rodale. He joined me from the CBC in Toronto. John, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Bill. My pleasure.
You're listening to Only a Game.